some of the points from last week, whoever attended, we covered. From which, from what, which verse? Twenty-nine is still again another sacrifice, right? About Ashtanga Yoga. Yeah. Hatha Yoga, Pranayama.
You said that you don't need Pranayama to surrender your sense to Krishna.
What does Srila Prabhupada say about eating prasadam with respect to devotees, or eating, reducing the eating?
It's not prasada is reducing, but you are telling the story about eating as till the throat if it's prasadam, so that you are happy.
Okay, so the point is like, so the verse says curtailing the eating process.
Yeah.
So what does it mean for devotees? How do we curtail the eating process?
By only eating prasadam.
Okay, so that's the application for us.
Yeah.
Okay, next, the verse number 30. Any points?
The basic fundamental is to control your senses. Whatever you read, it's all about.
So sense control. All these sacrifices, the net result is sense control.
Yeah.
And also, what are the other thing is? In verse number 30, what's the other side effect of sacrifice?
Happy and open.
They become cleansed of sinful reactions, right? So sacrifices has three benefits. One is like, you know, controlling the senses. Cleansing of sinful reactions. Transcendental knowledge. And then third one, there was something, right? Somebody already was written on the 3 points. It was all across all the verses. I think probably you might have written down, Naresh.
Liberation.
It's a complete knowledge.
The transcendental knowledge, no sinful reaction.
Gain release from material sense miseries, and third,
ultimately,
engage in the loving transcendental service to Supreme Lord.
Okay, gain free from material miseries also. Mm-hmm. So that's one more point. Yeah. Okay, next 31. So Krishna emphasizes in verse 31 the importance of sacrifice in order to live here in this life and also for future life, right? So one of the important points, and we discussed it, the human form of life is the only loophole by which one can get out of this entanglement. So not from any other form of life. Right? So how by doing sacrifices one gets, one becomes happy in this life?
You mentioned that yajna leads to perfection. By performing sacrifices, we get all the basic necessities.
Then gods are pleased, so we get the necessities. So that's how we become happy. At least we get all the basic needs for this life. Right? That's how we become happy in this life. That's correct. Okay. Next, verse number 32. So here Krishna is saying these sacrifices were approved by the Vedas. So that means they are approved by the Lord also. That means, you know, these are part of the Karmakanda section in the Vedas also. And these are based on different gunas of the people. Right? It's not like, you know, everybody has to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Based on their no mode of passion, ignorance or goodness, they can do different types of sacrifices. Okay, verse number 33. Mm.
So when you say different kinds of sacrifices, what are some examples? I mean, when the sacrifices, are you talking about yajna or Are you talking about not doing things? Yeah.
Before this, Krishna covered like series of the ways we can do sacrifices. Like one is like, you know, sacrificing the life air, and brahmacharis, they sacrifice the hearing process. That means they hear only Krishna katha. And householders, they sacrifice sense gratification by having engagement only with the wife. There are different sacrifices. Yes. So in all of this, there is some amount of restricting oneself or regulating oneself.
Right.
And the result of that is transcendental knowledge, which is, that's how it connects to this chapter. And also freedom from sinful reactions and freedom from miseries. So now, right? But ultimately, you know, these sacrifices can be done with a material motive or could be done with the aim for getting transcendental knowledge. So that's why in 33, Krishna clarifies these two motives and says which is better. Right? Which one is better?
Sacrifices done in knowledge are better than just sacrificing.
Merely sacrificing material possessions for some material wants.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, doing sacrifice with the transcendental objective is definitely has a spiritual benefit. But otherwise, if we do it, for example, these days, right? Many politicians also, they do fasting whole day, right? But what is the motive? Motive is to get some political power. So then the benefit is material. But as we discussed, if we do some amount of austerity, we'll get some power, right? Anybody does anything, even material or spiritual motive, you have to get some power. We discussed, like, somebody goes to Mangalarti for 7 years, then they get a power that whatever they speak comes true. So like that, any sacrifice we do, and also, you know, this Naishtika Brahmacharis, Naishtika Brahmacharis is a person who never even released his semen. So they have so much, because it has so much energy, right, gets released, right, because of that. But because of they retain within themselves, they become very powerful, that energy is within themselves. So, you know, all because of restricting themselves from that sense enjoyment, they become powerful. In the sense, they get so-called mystic powers. That's why, right, I mentioned once, it so happened that in the beginning stages when I was coming to Krishna consciousness, I didn't know, you know, what is the wealth of Krishna consciousness, and that, you know, I should not be hearing to other things, you know, it's not needed, and, you know, Krishna or Prabhupada gave me everything, why should I even, I was like, you know, I'm now inclined to something spiritual, so anything spiritual for me was okay. It's like that. I didn't have that discrimination. Very, very beginning stages. So that time it happened that this Nityananda Paramahamsa, he was giving a lecture and seminar in Microsoft. So, you know, in all seminars you get advertisements, everything, right? I didn't even consult any devotees. You know, nicely I went and attended that same whole 1 hour of Mayavadi philosophy. And No, I was so innocent. All I wanted to hear was something about Krishna and something from Bhagavad Gita, actually, you know. I wanted to know about Krishna. That's how I went. So, but I didn't know, I should know about Krishna from right sources rather than anybody. So then, 1 hour, something he talked, and somebody asked some questions challenging him, and he didn't answer properly. And I was suspicious, you know, something wrong. And the way he was answering, actually, he was blaspheming Krishna also. It was very obvious. I could get that. So then I came, and next Bhakti Viksha was happening, right? I had something wrong. I didn't have a close relation to any devotees where I can sit and share with them. Only gathering I had was the Bhakti Viksha where I share with others. So there I started discussing, you know, I attended this class, and this person, you know, he started talking, you know, all these things about Krishna. Then the leader, the facilitator, Madhava Gopinath Prabhu, you know, now he's not there, he went to Seattle. He immediately, you know, became very angry, actually. He said, you know, okay, let's not talk about it. And he cut me out, actually, there. I was very offended. Like, what is this? I'm just sharing. Why is he behaving like? Later on, I understood. Devotees cannot tolerate their Lord being, you know, considered as impersonal or like that. So, but then what I got from that session with him is that, you know, that so many people got attracted to him. You know, there is some power in this because of some sacrifices he did. Now, even though it's nonsense, atheistic philosophy, why they become powerful? We think, right, you know, why should Krishna invest power in them? Because they are going to spoil everyone. Why should they even become powerful such that, you know, people get attracted and get misled? Because they do some amount of austerity and sacrifice, they get the result. But we should know that, you know, we should do it with a proper motive, now that we know, because Krishna says that is the better way to do it. Yeah. The karma kanda versus jnana kanda. Okay, verse number 34. I think we spend most of the time on this verse.
Three main points.
Yeah, three main points. How to approach a spiritual master? What are the 3 points?
Approaching spiritual master.
Submissively
inquiry. Render service.
So first one is approaching. It's actually surrender. So when we approach a spiritual master, we should with full surrender and submissive inquiries and rendering service. These are the 3 aspects of approaching a spiritual master. So, some more points, anything which you remember from the class or something?
Cyclic succession
is important, yes.
Because otherwise, you might be telling whatever you
yes, concocted or, yeah. So, the spiritual master should be in the cyclic succession.
The main purpose is to please the spiritual master,
yes.
by rendering service.
Yes. So, yeah, we try to render humble service, menial service to spiritual master and please him just by him being pleased, automatically knowledge gets revealed within us. Now, as I was also mentioning, it need not be like, you know, direct media. It need not be like, you know, he should be literally present before me and say, you know, good job every time I do something. Right? This all is happening through transcendental media. By remembering spiritual master and always and like trying to do the best possible way as a service to them, automatically service is offered and we get the results back also. Yeah. So any more points? So how should the inquiries be? Prabhupada talks about blind following, right? Should surrender means like, you know, I close my eyes and what does that mean?
Should not blindly follow, we should pose
questions
which are intelligent or like
Hare Krishna.
Genuine questions.
Very pertinent questions. Pertinent questions. And in a very, and also not only that, there could be some challenging questions, but until what range you should give
it
that?
It is not to challenge them, but for us to know and
okay. But that also, there is a period we mentioned, right? In ISKCON, like in 1 year, there will be, basically Guru is assessing the disciple and disciple is also so-called assessing the Guru. So in those period, you can ask questions about, you know, why are you focusing more mainly on this type of preaching? Why not this? You know, other Maharajas do like this. That kind of questions, which are actually not relevant, you know, because we are struggling with the basic things of controlling our senses and, you know, chanting our rounds, you know, why should we bother about, you know, the elevated people, what they do and things like that. But in case we have such questions within that period, just so that we can solidify our faith in that spiritual master, we can ask those questions within that period. But once it's confirmed and wholeheartedly we accept, then after that we should not ask those questions.
So you are saying the period before initiation, during the 1 year period.
That time it's like still, it's kind of, you know, girl and boy seeing each other kind of thing. we don't know marriage will happen or not. It's like still, it's like that. Same time spiritual master may also see that, you know, this disciple may need more time. They will not reject anybody because they see the spark in everyone, but they say, okay, maybe he needs a couple of more years for them to, you know, follow regulative principles. He doesn't seem to be stable. So, you know, let's wait some more time. So they also assess from their side. Okay. So why should one accept a spiritual master? Did everybody understand that? Why should we have a spiritual master?
To get the transcendental
knowledge. Yeah.
Someone needs to guide us, know us, and without guidance, we don't know what we are doing. Mm-hmm.
That's the power source. That's right.
Good.
Before I forget, I wanted to blurt it out. It's the power source. If it's not connected to the main link, then no power comes out.
See, for example, now we have access to Srila Prabhupada books, no? And somebody is helping us understand Bhagavad Gita, so-called devotees, right? So-called, we are following the bona fide way of learning things. So why then still, you know, we are accessing Prabhupada directly? Why should still we have a spiritual master?
You mentioned it, Master. We can choose whatever is convenient to us and follow it.
Mm.
But if a spiritual master is there, he'll tell what is right for us, not what we think is right for us.
Basically, spiritual master will guide us which direction we can go, because every person has different kind of potencies. He knows what is good in that particular devotee, and he can guide him to achieve that goal.
Yes.
In
Sarvakrishna. Yeah, spiritual master knows the nature of the disciple and he guides them accordingly. And also, as Prabhu said, you know, Paramatma from within is giving guidance all the time. But you know, we first of all, we don't understand, and even if we hear, sometimes we neglect such certain instructions. But when spiritual master is in front of us and says, you know, do this, there is, you know, they require some great amount of absurdity to ignore such an instruction, right? Otherwise, genuinely sincere person wants to sincerely follow such instructions. It said that by mercy of Krishna we get Guru, by mercy of Guru we get Krishna. So okay, we mentioned it. Spiritual master is like our sponsor to the spiritual world. So he's the one who is giving the visa to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we don't have access, and we need initiation in order to go back to Goloka. We need a connection to the Guru Parampara. Okay. So we'll continue this verse. Today's class. But verse number 35 talks about what is that knowledge that the spiritual master gives. Now, what is the effect of that knowledge?
Yajnatvana punarmoham evam yashyasi pandava yena bhutani asheshani Drakshyasi Atmani Atomai.
Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So what happens with this knowledge? First, we just underline the points which Krishna is saying. Having obtained such knowledge, what will happen? We'll never fall back again into such illusion. What is that illusion? We will know from the purport. And then second point is, we will see all living beings are part of the Supreme Lord. So we see everybody as part and parcel of Krishna. Okay. And that illusion is that we are separate from Krishna. The first point, right? Never fall again into such illusion. That illusion is Maya, which is thinking that we are separate from Krishna. That means, you know, we can enjoy separate from Krishna, we can exist separate from Krishna. Our whole existence of, you know, right now what we are doing, you know, thinking ourselves independent of Krishna. So we'll read few lines, first few lines.
The result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or one who knows things as they are, is learning that all living beings are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya.
Yeah, we can pause there. So the same thing, two things are repeated, right? We'll receive the knowledge that all living beings are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Right? And should I move that side? Or
yeah.
Okay. And then the second one is the definition again, you know, we discussed, right? When we read Bhagavad Gita, we get everything is defined again. We define what is sacrifice. Now Prabhupada is defining again what is Maya. Maya is that which is not. Usually that's what he defines. And also here, the sense of an existence separate from Krishna. Thinking of existing separate from Krishna is Maya, is illusion. Okay, so we'll next Prabhupada talks about Mayavati philosophers, how all those things. So, how they think that they exist separate from Krishna. So now continuing further in the next paragraph, we'll read the whole teaching of Gita.
The whole teaching of the Gita is targeted towards this end, that a living being, as Krishna's eternal servitor, cannot be separated from Krishna, and his sense of being and identity apart from Krishna is called Maya. The living entities, as separate parts and parcels of the Supreme, have a purpose to fulfill. Having forgotten that purpose since time immemorial, they are situated in different bodies as men, animals, demigods, etc. Such bodily differences arise from forgetfulness of the transcendental service to the Lord, of the Lord. But when one is engaged in transcendental service through Krishna consciousness, one becomes at once liberated from this illusion.
We can pause here. So again, same thing. Prabhupada is defining that living entity cannot be separated from Krishna, and his sense of existence apart from Krishna is Maya. That's basically, you know, when we have to decide, right? When are we in Krishna? When we discussed earlier, right, that we can never be not doing anything. Either we are serving Krishna or we are serving Maya, right? It's either of this. So if we want to know any time, you know, which are we doing? So this is a definition, like, you know, are we in the thing, whatever we are doing, are we connecting with Krishna? If it's connected to Krishna, then we are doing a service to Krishna. Otherwise, sense of existence apart from Krishna, then we are in Maya, illusion. Like anything we do, like let's say eating or maybe watching movies or something, how is it connected to Krishna? If it's not connected to Krishna, that means, you know, it's illusion. Because its existence completely separate from Krishna. Krishna is nowhere in the picture. Right? So because of, this is very nice, right? The point Prabhupada is saying, the living entities have a purpose to fulfill. Living entities as separate part and parcels of the Lord have a purpose to fulfill. What is that purpose? Yeah, go back to Godhead. But essentially, why we were created? That's again all the time.
To enjoy.
To serve. To have the relationship.
Original creation.
Is because we have that to exchange that loving rasa with the Lord, or have that eternal service with the Lord, right? That's the purpose. Having forgotten that purpose, what happens? They attain material bodies because they have to enjoy. But again, once they revive their transcendental loving service, they become liberated from this material bodies and liberated from this illusion. Again, Prabhupada defines what liberation means, like towards the end we will see. It's not literally, you know, merging or giving up the body. We can be liberated even within the body. So we'll continue further and then we'll come to the definition.
One can acquire such pure knowledge only from the bona fide spiritual master, and thereby avoid the delusion that the living entity is equal to Krishna. Perfect knowledge is that the supreme soul, Krishna, is the supreme shelter for all living entities. And giving up such shelter, the living entities are deluded by the material energy, imagining themselves to have a separate identity. Thus, under different standards of material identity, they become forgetful of Krishna. When, however, such deluded living entities become situated in Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that they are on the path of liberation, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam 2.10.6. I can't read that message. Liberation means to be situated in one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Krishna consciousness.
So again, Prabhupada is confirming that one can acquire such knowledge of, you know, one's constitutional position only from a bona fide spiritual master. So this point, the living entities are deluded by the material energy, imagining themselves to have a separate identity. So in order to illustrate this, like for example, usually it's spoken like this, like if we go to any mental hospital, right, we'll see many characters. Somebody is acting like a Shakespeare, somebody is acting like a Romeo, somebody acting like a Juliet, right? It's a policeman, thief, so many characters. And when we, out as an outsider, we go, we see, you know, they're mad really, you know, they are something else and they're acting like something else. You know, completely imagining they are like that and dressing like that and acting, you know, talking to other people in that tone, or we feel, we laugh, right? But actually we are laughing at ourselves, because that's what we are doing. We, our eternal original position, original service, we completely forgot what is it. And we are now identifying like, you know, I am Shyamala, I am Shobha, I am this, right? I have children, I have husband, I have family. So the whole thing, you know, spread so much, country. So these are all these things, we got designations and we fix ourselves in this. But actually, if you just step back and see, you know, every life we have wife and husband, every life we have children. That itself shows, you know, this is not, you know, something permanent. And we spend so much time and energy, you know, involving in those, you know, day-to-day things, forgetting ultimately what is all this for. You can relate nicely.
And just become, you give up everything, right?
Yeah, you give up so much everything. Ultimately, you, that's what it said, that, you know, all the material is definitely at the end of their life, they'll come to this thing, they think about it, you know. Whole life I worked so hard, I earned so much money, I sacrificed so much, I raised children, you know, I gave so much for my wife, I earned so many land, all these things, you know. What is it for ultimately? Ultimately nobody is there with me now. No, our kids go to US, they settle there. No, my wife is, no, she's sick, how will she take care? Nobody is there. No, what is it for? They have that realization, but they don't have the positive alternative. They don't know how to pick it up from there. Right, you know, but they get that thing at the end of their fag end of their life, and they don't even have even a purity to take anything positive at that stage. Actually, you know, they just struggle like that, and sometimes with so much attachment, they can't even give up that idea. You know, even if somebody says, utters the name of Krishna at that time, they don't even want to hear. They're so atheistic. Some people, but some people who are fortunate, that moment they turn their lives, and they can become Krishna conscious within that few days or, you know, months. No, that's why sometimes we have to step back and, you know, so much she is spending time and energy in doing so many things. At least we should see that as connected to Krishna. Otherwise, you know, I don't know what it is. Yeah, that's why I was reminding, right, of that instruction our Mukundatta Prabhu, he visited us, right, when our kids are born, when they were 3 months. He was saying, you know, so much absorption in parenting. No, like when their child, like, you know, feeding milk and feeding this, putting them to sleep, everything, pretty much everything you have to do for them. No, changing diapers, everything you have to do, bath. And after that, as they grow up, college, it's even more, no, it doesn't reduce. It's more and more absorption, so much absorption in parenting. Then I was saying, you know, if this much absorption we have in Krishna, we would have become purely Krishna conscious by now. And he said, you know, the only way you can do this service is if you see this as a service to Guru and Krishna. The only way you can sustain this is if you see it as a service to Guru and Krishna. Otherwise, it's impossible, he said. Because then we can get the reciprocation. Then we feel, you know, like we want to improve the service. Otherwise, it becomes Maya. Because it's disconnected with Krishna. Then it just becomes a family affair. No, okay, my child, okay. I don't know. I can't imagine how it will be. I think it will be very torturous. Especially when we are beginning spiritual life. We know, you know, everything should be connected to Krishna. And we have the whole world, or 24 hours, we deal with things which are not connected to Krishna. It's impossible life, right?
And even the material energy is connected to Krishna, right? It's his material energy.
Yes.
So So being in that material world, we can always constantly think of Krishna. It is possible.
That's right.
It may not happen 100%.
Right.
But initially 10%, 20%, then slowly
yes.
it may increase. And it does increase from where I started, and it's a long way to go. But still, initially, like 20 years ago and all, it wasn't there. It was more like material. And then slowly the concept of God and everything started, and then the Krishna consciousness, things like that. It just changes, the nature changes a little bit, but then you get more and more rooted into, you know that this is the right path. There's no other way. So even if you fall down the ladder one or two steps, you know that this is the only ladder.
That's
to climb.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's good.
From experience, I think everybody goes the same path.
Different times. Yeah, that's the definition of faith Prabhupada is going to give in later verses. It's a very nice definition. To have firm conviction, Krishna consciousness, that's the only path. We'll see, you know, the way Prabhupada phrases it. It's wonderful. Yeah, somehow we have to, as I mentioned earlier, we have to pray actually, you know, we have to pray. Krishna, please reveal to me how this is service to you. Please reveal to me how this is service to my spiritual master. Because not many people may be as advanced to see things as connected to Krishna as immediately. It has to be revealed because we are not pure. So when it's revealed, then it's we can act in that stage instead of just theoretically, you know, one time thinking water is Krishna, one time thinking water is for my enjoyment. Now we can act with that realization. Yeah, it's hard because, you know, we ourselves are, you know, trying to practice, and, you know, our senses are not controlled, and especially with kids, you know, we'll be put to extremities. You know, when these situations are normal, there's one way we can deal with things. When, you know, we didn't have proper rest, we didn't have proper food, then it's, and kids are vomiting all the time, then, you know, it's like all extreme situations, and there's that requires much more amount of Krishna consciousness to be able to handle that. So that's why, you know, these things are arranged. So Krishna has a way to purify us. Unless we see these things, situations, as a means for purification, we feel it's a torture. That's why, you know, good or bad, we should see it as being connected to Krishna. Either it's a struggling thing with the kids, or it's, you know, joyful thing with the kids. We should see that as a service to Krishna. Otherwise, it's Maya, as we are discussing here. Okay. So what's the definition of liberation? Liberation, Prabhupada is saying, is to be situated in one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Krishna.
Troublesome situations, we can see it as a part of cleansing aggregate. But joyful, how do you relate it?
Joyful means like anything. Why not? Whatever we are getting is through Krishna only, no? How can...
No, I agree. But generally something, it's troublesome. Then we can, okay, this is Krishna is trying to clean away whatever, testing or whatever. But it is something to enjoy, right? At that time we forget.
Not getting into it.
We should say, oh, Krishna is trying to clean. Like, but if they are making something good, they are pleasing us, whatever is happening, I'm just telling you. We are enjoying that in that situation.
Like,
how do we
relate?
Yeah.
At that time, we need to thank Krishna that he gives.
Yeah, that's why, you know, that those things also test for us. Then we are getting lost. If we don't remember that as a connection to Krishna, you know, that... or we are maybe being happy about something the kid does which is not connected to Krishna. Let's say kids win such a scheme, something which is mundane, but you become happy about that. Then you're slowly getting into that illusion. But otherwise, if you think that joy is like, you know, okay, now this kid, is making steps towards the his journey in Krishna consciousness, and you are happy about it, then it's connected to Krishna. Like for example, I was remembering this lecture Radhanath Maharaj was telling about. He read a meditation card, Vrindavan meditation. In every day there is a meditation for each day. There is a calendar basically. On one day he read a meditation. He said that in that meditation it says, in Vrindavan, all cats, cows, you know, all animals, everybody is serving Krishna and everybody is fully happy and satisfied. Everybody is happy and satisfied. Then Maharaj was going deeper and trying to analyze that verse, and he was saying, okay, what is cat service to Krishna? And obviously he's going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like meow 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 meow, like that. He's going to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, but what else? What is his service to Krishna? He says, but in Vrindavan everybody is serving Krishna. So cat, just by its rolling over, it's serving Krishna. And Krishna is very pleased by its rolling over. So, that's what I'm saying, if we see that completely, because the cat is completely there and Vrindavan is devoted to Krishna. It's remembering Krishna internally, so all its activities are for Krishna. It's doing it for Krishna. It's rolling over for Krishna. It's doing meow for Krishna. Whatever it is. So kids also, if we see that as, their upbringing, everything is for Krishna. Even if they do ABC, that's also part of their growth in Krishna. Service to Krishna. Something joyful also, it's also part of their growth in Krishna consciousness.
You once mentioned,
so we should remember,
it's because of the potency given by Krishna to all the individuals that people are doing or achieving.
Yeah. So
you
can remember.
We can look at it as a reward, the happiness that we experience with the kid doing something with our kid. It's kind of God is rewarding us, giving us happiness for the service that we are offering. I mean, one way to look at it.
Or we can say, we can also look at it like, if we are happy, we are actually for them a transparent via media for Krishna. Like how spiritual master is a transparent. So if we are being pleased by their service, that means we can understand Krishna is being pleased. Right? Otherwise, if we are being displeased, means, so we can say, okay, my kid is now pleasing Krishna. We can think of it like that. Okay, so we'll continue with the next verse, 36. अपि चेद् असि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पापकृत्तमा सर्वं ज्ञानप्लवेनैव विजितं सन्तरिष्यसि. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Wow. So now Krishna here is showing the importance of knowledge, how powerful it is. We discussed so many times about the power of devotional service, right? The same thing. So Krishna is saying, even if you are most sinful of all sinners, if at all you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, and the boat is driven by the spiritual master, then you will be able to cross over this ocean of miseries. This verse reminds us of a verse, similar verse which we related many times, right? In 9th chapter, 9.30, we will just read the translation. Apichet Suduracharo, that verse. Vajite maam ananyabhak sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. So, verse number 9 chapter, verse number 30, where Krishna says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. The same thing, similar one. So what Krishna is saying, if at all he is situated with determination in devotional service, he should be considered saintly because the devotional service will purify him in course of time. So don't find faults with him. So similarly, even if we are most sinful of all sinners, if at all we are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, that means we are fixed in devotional service and we are taking guidance of the spiritual master, then gradually we are going to be crossing over the ocean of miseries.
Mataji, how do you remember that a verse with a similar meaning is on such and such chapter? You have come to that level when you kind of have memorized everything?
No,
you've read it so many times that it's kind of registered.
No, sometimes, there are, what to say, very advanced, scholars or persons who read more deeply actually could relate to any verse to any verse. I could only remember few verses. That's because of hearing. If you hear a lot of lectures, in all the lectures, Srila Prabhupada quotes many verses. When we hear all again and again how they are connecting, it stays with us. When we remember one verse, we remember the other verse. It's just
going over them over and over again.
Yes,
stays in.
Yeah. Okay, we'll read this short purport.
Proper understanding of one's constitutional position in relationship to Krishna is so nice that it can at once lift one from the struggle for existence which goes on in the ocean of nascence. This material world is sometimes regarded as an ocean of nascence and sometimes as a blazing forest. In the ocean, however expert a swimmer one may be, the struggle for existence is very severe. If someone comes forward and lifts the struggling swimmer from the ocean, he is the greatest saver. Perfect knowledge received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the path of liberation. The boat of Krishna consciousness is very simple, but at the same time, the most sublime.
Okay. So we are struggling because of our misidentification, right? Because we think ourselves to be separate from Krishna and we identify ourselves to be with this material things, that's why we are struggling this ocean of nations. But the moment this transcendental knowledge is revealed and we identify ourselves to be a servant of Krishna, then we are ready to cross over this ocean of nations. That's why this transcendental knowledge is helping us to cross over. And material world is compared to sometimes the ocean of miseries and sometimes also blazing forest. Where is it said as blazing forest? Morning prayers? Samsara dava nalal dhavanala. Dhavanala di the loka. So dhavanala. It's like, you know, forest fire. This this forest fire of material existence, and the spiritual master is showering the rain of mercy. It's a rain, right? When there is a forest fire, if you have a rain, cooling effects of the rain, then it gets cooled down. So spiritual master is showering that mercy for me to get out of this existence, material existence. So spiritual master is the expert swimmer. However expert we may be, one person cannot himself come out of this ocean. Right? That's why we need somebody to help us. That's the greatest savior is the spiritual master.
What's the meaning of
ignorance? Then Prabhupada says the boat of Krishna consciousness is very simple, but at the same time the most sublime. And also this verse relates, remember one of the reasons Arjuna gives in the beginning to not fight? What is the reason related to this one? Yeah, so fear of sinful reactions. So here Krishna is saying, you know, actually you, by following transcendental knowledge or by fighting the war, you will be actually free from sins. Not by not doing it.
So that's the interpretation that if you're fighting a war, a just war, even though people are dying,
as long as you're following instructions of Krishna.
Yeah, you're doing okay. It's not that you can just do bad things and then in the name of, you know, you're a pujari and you're doing bad things,
Yeah. This doesn't, I get your point. This doesn't encourage being sinful.
It's okay to be sinful because anyway.
Yeah, transcendental knowledge will protect us. No. Actually, if you read the purport, that 9.30 in the purport, Prabhupada mentions clearly. Because Krishna says, right, even if you are do any abominable action, you are considered saintly. Prabhupada mentioned this abominable action, if it's done inadvertently, unintentionally. Not like, you know, okay, now I have this verse, I put it as a play card and keep doing sinful activities.
But only then, when you are a devotee, if you do some stuff, then it's okay, right? I mean,
but even that has to be inadvertent.
Yeah, inadvertent. Yeah, that's what
you cannot do bad things.
I mean, we are not at, I mean, this, I am not like, you know,
but
Krishna, I cannot say that I cannot do it, I can do it, and then later I will do Krishna consciousness, I will grow. I can't do
whatever we are doing, that is for. But whatever we are doing, that should be in connection to Krishna, right? Whatever the nonsense or whatever the negative part we will choose, that we how we connect to Krishna, then that we also think, right? Like
how is it nonsense?
Like Arjun was killing, right? So we can see as Duryodhana is also killing, Arjun is also killing. Both is same killing, but Krishna, Arjun path is towards Krishna, and Duryodhana path was not towards.
Mm-hmm.
So how we will decide?
Mm.
Means if we will start putting this shloka as a playing card, as you were saying.
Mm.
So how we will choose our activities, whether it is connected or not. It's very
so the person who wants to misuse that instructions, he doesn't try to connect it to Krishna.
That's what he's misusing.
Yeah. Why he wants to, right? He wants to misuse he wants to keep devotional service as an excuse and do things nonsense. Why will he go all the way to, you know, try to again connect to Krishna and beat his... No, then he doesn't get the enough momentum to do it, right? Yeah, so one thing is, these are done unintentionally because of Prabhupada said, why would a devotee do it? See, if you see that verse, right? Person fixed in devotional service, even if he does a sinful, most abominable action, if it's fixed in devotional service, he can be considered saintly. So why a person who is fixed in devotional service could happen to do certain things which are abominable? How will it? And we also talked about these are not intentional acts. So how could he ever do that? Got it? He's already fixed in devotional service. So he's sincere and he's determined in devotional service. Yeah, because?
They're in the material world. That's right.
But it could also refer to some activities that he had done in the past.
Yeah.
Right?
So because this could happen because of his past conditioning.
Yeah.
Because so many, before coming to Krishna consciousness or devotional service in this life and so many lifetimes, because there's so much conditioning of sense gratification or sinful acts. So that may sometimes propel that person to do act in a way which isn't sinful. Like how Arjuna asked the question, right? Why is somebody doing most... like acts which he doesn't even want to do it. What is that force? Then what's the answer Krishna gives?
Not something.
Uh-huh.
Three force, right?
No.
Karma.
No.
Lust. What is Krishna asked? Arjuna asked, right? Third chapter. No, what?
Yeah.
Why is some?
Not willingly one. Why
yeah.
Is one? I thought like under the influence of the three modes.
No. What's the precise answer Krishna gives? It says it's lust only Arjuna.
Yeah.
Lust only Arjuna, which is the one which causes you to downfall and do this.
It's
a desire to enjoy. Basically, the desire to enjoy is the one which is causing us to do it. So, what are we discussing?
So the
past conditioning may propel that person in certain situations to act in a way which he shouldn't act. In those cases, he should be forgiven. Like for example, somebody has a long habit of habit of smoking, and suddenly he gives up and stake to Krishna consciousness. One fine day, he meets his old friends. And they are all smoking and he happens to go a camp with them. Somehow we don't know why a devotee should go like that with them. But let's say he goes. Then, you know, he's in a different world now altogether. And he somehow smokes and he comes back again. He's with devotees, he's chanting. And then he realizes, oh, I did this mistake. The devotee catches and says, you know, okay, you're gone, kiss. You know, you're a... Now you can get out of the temple. Yeah, but Krishna says, you know, these you should avoid. You should... forgive, because he's now again fixed up in devotional service.
So, when a person is completely fixed up, then even while doing it or coming out of it, he'll just know that
Yeah, and he will plead to Krishna or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that moment,
the repent,
yes, correct.
For it,
immediately
you.
But somebody, I mean, in your example, but that's not inadvertent, right? Because somebody is in the right conscious of mind, he is saying that, oh, there are now, I've got some friends and also I'll relapse into smoking and all.
No.
Here you are talking inadvertent where you don't know that. Maybe
no, here also it can could be still inadvertently. You happen to go with them in a camping trip thinking, you know, I will preach the Krishna consciousness or something. But then suddenly that when everybody smokes, that nature comes out. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, okay, I'll purposely go on a camping trip so I get an excuse to smoke. It's maybe, you know, you didn't do it like that. But there the propensity was so strong, let's say the same, there could be other person who didn't have that habit of smoking, he would not be so influenced, because this person had the habit of conditioning of smoking, he could easily be influenced. That's what, because of the conditioning and because of the power of the association and material nature, somebody may give in certain cases. Okay, anyway, we are not discussing 9th chapter. So we went back to the earlier verse. Okay, now we discuss Krishna consciousness very simple and sublime. So we'll go to verse number 37. So how will this devotion service burn up the sins? That is discussed in 37. Because, you know, Krishna says most sinful of the sinners will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries, right? So how does this transcendental knowledge burn the sins? What's very pertinent for us. Yate dhamsi samiddho agnir basma sat kurute arjuna jnana agni sarva karmani basma sat kurute tata. As the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. So Krishna is giving analogy. As a fire turns firewood to ashes, so similarly the fire of transcendental knowledge burns to ashes all reactions to material activities. So all sinful reactions are burnt. So that's why, you know, he is not, that's how he can easily cross over this ocean of miseries. Because sinful reactions are getting burnt. This is what we discussed about devotional service also, right? It clears the previous, it not only kills the tendency to do sin, more sin, it also frees us from previous sinful reactions. So we'll read the purport and see what Prabhupada says.
Perfect knowledge of the self and the super self and of the relationship is compared herein to fire. This fire not only burns up all reactions to impious activities, but also all reactions to pious activities, turning them to ashes.
Mm.
There are many stages of reaction. Reaction in the making, reaction fructifying, reaction already achieved, and reaction a priori. But knowledge of the constitutional position of the living entity burns everything to ashes. When one is in complete knowledge, all reactions, both a priori and a posteriori, are consumed. In the Vedas, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is stated, one overcomes both the pious and impious reactions of work.
Mm. So it's very nice, right? Nice boon for us. The fire of transcendental knowledge burns up all reactions to impious activities and also pious activities. So we want to get rid of pious activities also, right? Reactions from pious activities. Everybody agrees, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then important thing about this purport is he's talking about the stages of reactions. So let's say when we do certain action, right? We are supposed to get a reaction. So the reaction has, it's like a, we can, what to say? We can give an analogy of a tree for that, or, you know, fruit for that. So that reaction is in the seed form. Like, you know, that's why the reaction, these are different stages of a reaction. Reaction in making, reaction fructifying, reaction already achieved, and reaction a priori. I don't know what a priori means. What is
after?
Means after?
Prior, before.
Mostly,
right?
Yeah, before.
Prior is okay. Before and posterior.
Before is and before and after. Uh-huh. Okay. There are 5 stages basically. So there will be, when we do certain action, initially there will be a seed of that reaction. And slowly over a period of time, it will, you know, grow and becomes fructified, and then there is already, you know, we are ready to receive it already. That means, you know, it comes as a disease. We are already receiving it. And then after that, it diminishes, gets over. So, different stages. So, main thing for us to note here is all the reactions in different stages are cleansed or removed, except the reactions which are already received. This important note, which is not there in the purport, if you want, you can make a note. Basically, there are 5 stages of reactions. At any point, we could be right now having reactions in different stages now. Like we are making new reactions, or some reactions we have already received, or some reactions are about to come. Like, you know, in 1 hour, I'm going to get hit an accident, about to come. It's like that. And some reactions have already passed. Like, these are different stages. So, devotional service or transcendental knowledge cleanses all the reactions in all the stages, except the reactions which are already received. But what does it mean is, actually the reaction which we have already received, an example for that is the material body we currently have. The material body we currently have is a reaction which we have received already. It's the reaction fructified. So devotional service will not take away that, because, you know, we'll give up the body otherwise. So this body will be there so that we can continue with devotional service.
And apart from the body, it could also be things that have happened
in the past.
To you,
yes, past.
Right? Whether it is joy or misery.
Yeah, past. Yeah.
But the past is done.
Past
because
is done.
Enough, saying that those reactions we have already
seen. Now we can sit and get in the
So, okay. So one example of.
But past reactions are also going away, right?
We will not get the effect of the past reactions.
Yeah. It means those
past actions
will not get reactions.
Yeah, means past sins will be getting nullified.
Okay, these reactions are in different stages, right? There are some reactions which we are generating now, right now in the seed form. So we may get it maybe in 10 years, the fruit. Or there are some reactions which are going to come, about to fructify, means we are going to get it in 1 hour. Let's say the moment we come out of the temple, something is going to happen. I'm going to about, it's ready to, for me to face it. There are some reactions which we are already experiencing now. Our material body is such a reaction, because we are already feeling pain from this body. Already have to face certain type of eyesight we have, or certain type of hearing loss we have, right? These are already reactions we have received. So those reactions will not be taken away. So we are going to continue that hearing loss for rest of the life, unless we take some medical help and surgery or something.
Okay.
Okay.
Body will be there.
Yes. Otherwise, we may have to give up the body inadvertently.
We are only talking about reactions, not actions. How we receive the reaction.
Yes. Yeah, so this body is also a reaction. So that reaction will not be taken away.
Mataji, a priori, from what is before, that's what it says.
Yeah, before. Mm. Okay. Okay, it's clear, right? So that then we should have now, you know, we should be encouraged again to take up devotional service or transcendental knowledge, because Krishna is clearly saying he's going to take away the reactions. Sinful reactions, good and bad. It's not like, you know, we'll ask Swamiji to give blessings and you were not there with that example. Okay, so we'll continue 38. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga samsiddha kale natmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. So here Krishna is glorifying the transcendental knowledge. First he is saying, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. And then such knowledge is mature fruit of all mysticism. That means it's the goal of all, you know, all endeavors. And when one has accomplished in the practice of devotional service, what happens? He enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. That means he becomes self-satisfied, self-situated, becomes peaceful. So we can read the purport.
When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita.
When one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. So how many of us have come to Krishna consciousness for peace? Because we want peace. Because we don't have peace of mind. Right? Most of us came, right? Yeah. So then gradually with the devotion service, we are finding peace, right? Within ourselves and with our homes and families. So that's how gradually, he enjoys peace within himself. This reminds me of one quotation Radhanath Maharaj was giving in his lecture. It seems in one, he was invited to talk in House of Lords in London, the big concert. And there he gave a lecture and he made some statement which startled many of them, and many of them came back to him afterwards and said, wow, this is a very nice statement. I've never heard, it's very wonderful, they appreciate it. So he shared the same sentence actually in 2-3 lectures. I've listened to different lectures during the month or something, same thing he repeated. So, the statement he gives in that class is that, in that lecture is that, we can know how rich a person is by how many things he has which money cannot buy. So we can know how rich a person is by counting the number of things he has which the money cannot buy. That means whether he has peace, love, satisfaction, happiness, contentment, all these things, because money cannot buy all these things. Now all these things, whether he has this, then he is rich, really rich.
Nice, sir.
Yeah, so all these rich people in that community, they said, yes, I agree, I am rich, I have a lot of money, I don't have all this, I am really poor. But then just with transcendental knowledge and devotional service, we can be really rich by being peaceful and satisfied. Then it's more controlled, right? If you are satisfied and peaceful, we are not agitated with the money comes or goes. It's so much control, rather than anchoring always, I want more, and not being satisfied.
I just opposite. I was reading some magazine, and they were talking, there was this very rich lady. It was also some British lady, right? Some queen, somebody, some royalty or something. And somebody asked her, but money cannot buy happiness. She said, it's true, money cannot buy happiness, but it sure makes distress. It makes it a very comfortable distress. Very comfortable.
Krishna. See, we have so many ways to continue to be
excuse
me. Okay, we continue with the next word.
We are using this word again, the transcendental knowledge, or situated in transcendental knowledge. What does it mean here? We are learning knowledge and then applying in the life. This combination is once we have applied, then we can say we have a transcendental knowledge.
So first of all, definition, what is the transcendental knowledge? So Krishna mentioned earlier, right? So Prabhupada said in the purport, the transcendental knowledge is the knowledge that we are connected to Krishna and that everybody is also part and parcel of Krishna. So these are the two main, that's the crux of this transcendental knowledge. So being situated in the transcendental knowledge means acting with that realization that, I am connected to Krishna and everybody is connected to Krishna.
So means in our each action, if we are seeing this,
yes,
then
we are situated in transcendental knowledge. or essentially being situated in Krishna consciousness, or doing, yeah, just if you follow the process of Krishna consciousness, we are in this boat of transcendental knowledge.
So when we have this this kind of knowledge, then there's automatically there will be peace, because we all know that we are all connected, right?
Yes.
So there is no question of competition, no
exactly.
question of feeling jealousy, or it will reduce, even if the thought comes, it will we are all connected, we are
yes.
connected to one source.
Yes, very nice. This again, I'm able to relate back to the same lecture I was listening when Maharaj was telling about Vrindavan meditations, right? Everybody is serving Krishna. So then he elaborated further, what does it mean to us, how do we apply that principle? So he was saying, that means actually, so basically that meditation says, cows, cats, everybody is happy serving Krishna. So that means when we really are Krishna conscious and we are serving Krishna properly, we can actually appreciate everybody else's service. And we can actually, we think that everybody else is actually serving Krishna better than me. And then he was saying, if you have that conception in the material world, that everybody else is better than me, people will think you are, something wrong with you. Your parents will take you to psychiatry. My child comes home from school and says, Mama, everybody else is better than me in school. So material conception, it doesn't work. But spiritually, it can happen like that, because we are so much satisfied in our service with Krishna, or fully we are enjoying the transcendental relationship with Krishna and so much happy in our service, that we don't want to boost our ego by proving ourselves better than others. So we don't mind appreciating others' service and or even thinking them to be better than us. So that's what you were saying, the point, right? So we don't need that ego boost and envy, we don't give in to envy, competition, all those things. It's like, we always feel everybody is serving Krishna and actually they are serving better than me. I know that's a goal, one day hopefully we'll think like that. It's like, yeah, because he's so peaceful, same back to this verse, he's so peaceful and satisfied with the service to Krishna. Remember that I don't know which chapter, we discussed about this ocean. Rivers keep coming, but the ocean is so full, it doesn't get disturbed. Second chapter, I think. Second chapter. Yeah. Because the ocean is so full in itself that it doesn't get disturbed, as so many rivers keep coming and going. Right? Same thing. So similarly, a Krishna conscious person, he doesn't get disturbed by the desires. Right? That's the connection. Desires keep coming, he doesn't act on it, so he doesn't get disturbed. That was the topic there. Okay, just for 5 more minutes. Okay, I think maybe we can pause there, because next 2 verses are connected, so I don't think we'll anyway complete the chapter. So next few verses Krishna is going to talk about faith. I've given all these instructions. So what happens to a person who is faithful and follows my instructions, Krishna's instructions, and what happens to a person who is not faithful and who doesn't follow these instructions? So Krishna again gives the results. We'll just read the translation just to complete it. So text number 39, Krishna says, a faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. So such a person, he attains supreme spiritual peace if it's faithful to devotional service or transcendental knowledge. Whereas person who he doesn't have faith, verse number 40, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures and do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So similar verse, right? In third chapter we mentioned, Krishna?
Same chapter, right?
Yeah, but then we were asking, is Krishna punishing? I don't remember which chapter. So Krishna says, they will not have, they'll be lost. They will not have happiness. They will not have peace. The three things he mentions. It comes in the right side of this page.
Yeah.
I think something related to faith only, right? Like somebody who has faith, somebody who doesn't have faith.
Faith in Supreme.
Yeah, maybe it's a homework to figure out where it is. So the next time we can relate. Okay. So then 41. How to destroy those doubts. So if he has doubts like that, how to destroy those doubts. And 42 is a summary. So the Krishna is saying, you know, remove all those doubts. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. I said, you know, now, so final conclusion, Krishna is saying, you know, how to act in knowledge. Remember the confusion Arjuna has, he didn't know how to act with knowledge. He thought jnana means just sitting quiet without work, acting. Now Krishna is saying how to act in knowledge, which is stand and fight. So far, it's to be understood earlier, Arjuna was sitting.
Chapter 3.
Wow, Adit, that's what I thought, that chapter 3. Okay, let's get to that verses. 30 and?
31 and 32.
Oh. Yeah, so very nice. Yeah, so the translation is, those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from bondage of fruitive reactions. But those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Right, same thing again. Very nice. So we can write this in the, I don't have pencil. I can do that. Okay. So any questions or discussion? Okay, let's stop here. Hare Krishna.